Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we are going to continue on our series, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. We're still in chapter 5. And today we're looking at verses 27 through 30. Now in my Bible there's a little title there, it says Adultery in the Heart. And I'm breaking up these sections as we go. This is a section that many of us have heard. We know, we've probably read it, we've heard it from the platform perhaps, but for most of us, because maybe this isn't us or we don't think that this is us, we don't give it too much of a second thought. But what I want to do today is just dig in a little deeper. I'm going to read through it with a few notes and then we'll draw out some more for discussion because there is so much here, not just only for us, but for others as we help, as we encourage and we help others grow in their faith also. So if you have your Bible, please read along with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. And this, of course, referring to the Ten Commandments, the law. They've heard this, they know this. But I say to you, Jesus says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, the best example I can think of from Scripture for this, of course, is King David and Bathsheba. King David up on the balcony, on the roof, looking over the roofs, sees this beautiful naked woman and looks and then continues to look. And that seed grows into something greater and he begins to desire her until finally, of course, that leads to the sin itself. So Jesus is pointing out here something a little bit more than just the sin itself. This is what I want us to grasp hold of today. He also goes on to talk about, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. So this is a harsh metaphor. This is, you want me to do what? Sorry, pluck my eye out? You know, all David really had to do was turn away and to intentionally choose not to give it a second thought. But he didn't. He gave it a second thought, a third, fourth, fifth thought, and so on, and the seed grew. Verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And here we have this example, and I'll just use the David. The eye sees, the heart grows, the sin is born, even though it hasn't yet happened. So we see with our eye, and then we do with our hand, and Jesus is saying, cut it off. Stop it. Stop it before it begins. This lustful intent, a man towards a woman. And guys, we know. All right, we know what that is like. We truly do. But as we get into these scriptures, I want you to give thought and consider that sin all too often begins first with a thought, and that thought becomes a desire. Because I know as well as you do, and I'm talking to the guys for one second, and yes, I know this can apply to some of the ladies as well, but as a man, let me now talk to the men. I know, as well as you know, that you will notice a beautiful woman walking past. You just do. But what do you do with that? See, David looked across the rooftops and saw a beautiful woman. Rather than cut the eye out, look away, he went back for a second look, a third look, a fourth look, and desire was born. And that lustful intent became sin in itself. This is helping us to understand the seriousness of sin at its root before it's even born. Because you probably know as well as I do, once you get yourself tied up in something, oh boy, it's hard to get away from it. So what I want us to do is to examine ourselves. As I go through these scriptures, is to give thought to our own hearts, understanding that Jesus places a different measurement of, and I'll use the word correctly, righteousness on the people whom are listening to this. And the people whom are listening to this, they've grown up with the law, the written law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They've grown up with the spoken law. All of these things on top, which Jesus talks about being a heavy burden. And now, what? We have it again, even more so, he says. It's not just to do those things. Folks, I want you to understand this. It's to conceive and consider. Because that's where it begins, with the consideration. That's where it begins with the desire. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us that we should keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life. That which we think, that which we desire, we too often do. Why? Because as humans in our flesh, we are pretty much weak. And yes, I know there are the strongholds, and yes, there are the hard heads, and good for you. Absolutely good for you. But here's the thing, folks. If you are, like I have been for most of my life in this area, one of those who have struggled in these areas with these thoughts, good news is, through Christ, you can overcome. I know. Trust me, I know. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, we get to know, we get to see the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are also told that we are to be transformed by the renewing of what? Our mind. We are being transformed from glory to glory. We are now, as I spoke recently at our men's group, we are the temples of the living God. The Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now dwells in us. That same Spirit that hovered over the waters and spoke and creation began, now dwells in us. That's the glory. But we have been changed from glory to glory. There's more to come, and as we know from Scripture, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it on that day, that beautiful day of our Lord's return, when we are transformed not just inside, but also with our renewed bodies as well. Praise God for that. I, for one, look forward and desire and long and hope for that, just as Paul wrote about in Scripture. But what we have here, what we have here is a new set, a new standard, measures for, in a sense, if I could use this, radical purity. And people listening to this would have been going, hang on, I don't understand, because they did not, could not yet understand the Holy Spirit yet to come. Makes it possible. This is what I want you to understand. In your own strength? No, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In your own strength? No, in his. Allowing him to do that work. And so we need to look at potential triggers, if I can use that modern phrase, for sin in our lives. For me, for most of my life, it has been images on the screen. Okay? It has been. Or images as a boy on paper. Not growing up as a Christian, had access to everything, could, and I mean, these days it's even more so. But for us now, walking in Christ, knowing right, wrong, and so on, what else is there? What else is there in our lives that we could be looking at? He says here, I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in her heart. So what are the things? What are the things in our lives, I ask, that could drop that seed into our minds, into our hearts? Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me, of course, is the internet. It's this device just here. It's the phone. It's the tablet. It's the computer. It's the TV. It's the access to different apps that we might have access to. I remember hearing a man of God, beautiful, beautiful saint, a few years back, just explaining to me how he had no choice but to delete Instagram from his phone. He said, because it's just too easy to sit there and just look and scroll through. Beautiful women. Beautiful women. And that builds a desire. And for those of us who are married, folks, here's the warning. Please listen carefully and take my heart with this. If we find ourselves doing that, we look through these photos of these beautiful women, and that builds up, in a sense, a hidden subconscious resentment often for our own wives. Why? Because they're not that, especially as they get older. And the greatest thing which I've seen and breaks my heart when I see it is those men who hold on to a younger version of their wives, and as if their wives have to live up to that standard. Oh, we can't as we get older. Guys, you can't. They can't. So internet access, apps, TV shows, what other types of things? And bear with me, and please understand that I'm not placing burdensome rules on you here. I'm talking about those things that are so clearly so obvious that when you see them, you know, unless, of course, sadly, you've become numb to them. But when you see them, you know. My general rule now, hasn't always been, but now with the family, of course, is this. If I couldn't watch it in a Sunday school class, should I truly be watching it at all? I mean, honestly, now that's a very harsh rule. I have young children in the house, so I've got to be mindful. I've got to be careful of that. Some of the TV shows, I remember saying to a friend of mine, hey, there's this great show, and this is, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Great show, you know, you'd really enjoy it. And then I stopped and I went, but you probably shouldn't watch it with your wife around. Might make, you know, a bit uncomfortable. And when I said that, it hit me hard. What a terrible, horrible thing to say. Why indeed even was I watching it? But what other places, what other situations, what other times where it says that we should cut out our right eye, I mean to turn away? What other times where it says that we should cut off our right hand, it means not reach out, not do? What about friendships? Is this just to do with sexual immorality, sexual temptation and sin? Is it just to do with that? I don't think so. I think they're all things. What about toxic relationships that constantly bring up anxiety and anger, and that anger leads to action? We don't want it in here. We don't want it out here either. Job situations. Folks, have a look at your life, please. Take a moment. Do stock take. Grab a coffee or a tea or something. Sit down quietly with the Bible. Look at these scriptures just with quiet reflection and prayer. And ask yourself, are there any places whereby maybe you need to withdraw from that or change the way that you have access to that? Now, I've also got to say this. If you are, like so many, constantly falling in these areas, do not condemn yourself. Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are called for his purpose. Paraphrasing, I know. But we also have here 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is talking about temptation. And we also know from other scripture that God does not tempt you. You are drawn away by your own lusts, by your own desires. But he will make sure, he will guard you, he will protect you, making sure that whatever that temptation is for you, and it's different for most of us, some of us will have this, some of us will have that, it is different for you likely than it is for me, but he will make a way. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to walk away from. So what does that mean in the real world? What that means is what you think is impossible. Paul, I can't. It is not impossible, for all things are possible with Christ, who strengthens us. Can you see how this comes together? The Holy Spirit within, through him, not through you. And the first step in this is that we should guard our eyes, because that is the first step to guarding our heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it away. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. This is the intent. This is the intent of the law, is to protect ourselves. Because I'm just going to ask the question. Gentlemen, You see a beautiful lady walking past. You take a second, you take a third look. What do you then do with that thought? Well, for some of you, I know, you take it home with you. You hold it. You hold it in your heart. You rebuild it in your mind. You create a memory around it. I know you do. Not all, but some of us do. I know I did for so many years. That's how I know. Guard your heart by protecting and guarding your eyes. And we're seeing here a trend in Scripture. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We're seeing a trend. It's revealing to us the heart of the law. And the reason that this has been revealed to us, as I alluded earlier, is because now, through the Holy Spirit, it's possible. It is possible to live up to this. It never was before. The law said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and don't do that. Jesus now says, don't think this, don't think that. Look away. Yes, you can. And I'm here to tell you, yes, 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 you can. Oh boy. I struggled, I fought, I battled against these things for years, and I lost. And then finally, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you hear that little bit in the beginning? Submit. Submit yourself unto God. And that shows itself in so many ways. Oh, I'm submitted. I read. I pray. It's not getting any easier. And yet you go to church and you won't listen to the man up the front. Your heart will harden to something that he might suggest. You know, we're also told to submit to those who are in authority over us, that God has actually put there in position for us. I'm not talking about worldly authorities at this time, that's another topic, but I'm talking about those in the fellowship who are there to guard you and to help you along your way. You can't even submit to them, some of you. That is part of submission to God. It is. But when you do, then we stop bucking against the rules. How do we know if we're submitting to the person who might be giving us suggestions? I'm doing it right now. I've given you some suggestions on what things you could look at, review, consider changing in your life, haven't I? How do you feel about that? Probably not so good for some of us, no. I had people doing this for me. I almost resented them. Oh, but, you know, if only you knew. I don't have to do that. That's legalism. You're a Pharisee. Folks, we only buck against the rules, if I can use that phrase, when we don't want them. We're free in Christ. Yes, you are, but you got to get yourself out of the slavery of sin first. Because Scripture says we are no longer slaves to sin. So if we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness, you need to break the chains of that slavery. And if you can't do it yourself, do it through Christ by submitting to him, resisting the devil, then he flees from you. That's how it works. And these things are not spoken of enough in church. I see so many of the brothers through the men's group that I'm involved with, constantly struggling with the same thing over and over and over again, but they won't listen. They won't listen to someone who will give them instruction. They'll listen to us understanding. They'll listen to us lending an ear. They'll listen to us with our experiences. But when we say, let go of that, turn away from it, stop doing that, they don't. And so I guess I want to wrap up with this closing thought. And if you've made it this far, you deserve this, because here's the beauty, that little cherry on the top. We do it through Christ. These things, though they can become a salvation issue, usually don't. It's only after such a long, prolonged period of time when your heart becomes hardened and you give up. If you're still struggling in some or any of these areas, your eye sees something, your heart desires, just keep struggling. Matter of fact, no, don't struggle anymore. battle against it, fight against it, put on the whole armor of God and the helmet of salvation and that breastplate of righteousness. Don't struggle against it, folks. Fight and let Christ fight it for you. He is the hero of the story, is he not? Does not the hero always win? So I get it. But fight. But fight and know this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. You've just got to keep up the good fight. You've got to fight the good fight, as Paul said. That's what it is. All right, folks. I hope you have a blessed week, a wonderful day, and we'll talk again soon. God bless. Bye-bye.